Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Real Debaters Podcast. I am Michael Petro. Coffee McCofferson over there. Who is that?
I got the lungs.
It's not very well ventilated down there.
I'm Rob Strachan.
Welcome back to the show, listener. We're the Real Debaters Podcast. If you haven't tried us before, thanks for tuning in. And if you have, welcome back. This week on the show, we've got a lovely Real Talk for you. This weekend, a huge part of both of our childhoods is coming back to the screen. It's TMNT weekend, right? It's in a new animated form, and
it looks cool. I like the animation. It's kind of got like a little bit of it kind of pulls a little bit from some of the styling in the Spider-Verse.
Yes, exactly.
Movies a little bit, not exactly, but similar kind of a little bit dark, but still kind of fun.
Well, you bring that up. Spider-Man did three counts for animation: everything on the one, stuff on the two, the rest on the three. So one frame would move on all the ones. One frame creates an action. Every one frame is an action. Then every two frames is an action for the twos. So a movement doesn't occur until two frames go by. And then three frames go by on the threes.
Yeah.
And then the animation goes then. So you've got different speeds while in a timed environment.
Holy Christopher Nolan time dilation,
right?
Shit there.
That's some fucking meta shit. So
that makes me actually want to go see those movies.
Well, and like it's very.
I've only seen the trailers and they look really good, but I just haven't had the time.
Dude, you're gonna love it. Right?
I also like the other thing is too is they have to remember the original cartoon. They were Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but they were fucking jacked.
They're huge,
right?
See, like they had. Do you see why I'm confused?
They had G.I. Joe size biceps, and I think the difference is, especially with this new one from the trailer that I watched today, is They're all cut, but they're like slim cut, like they're slimmer.
Yeah,
the way a teenager is. So you know, like a high school football player isn't like massive. They're always like really lean but cut.
Yeah, they had Hulk pythons.
Yeah, man,
raging. Yeah, in those Corey Feldman as Donatello.
No, he was Michelangelo.
Was he Michael? No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was.
We're gonna have to look at this when we get into it. Anyways, listener, correct us as I do this right now. You do that, I'll vamp. So it's a TMNT weekend is what you're tuning in for. We've also got best Sunday night HBO on the list. Best Sunday night show on HBO. We're also gonna do the actor we would like to see come out of retirement, come off the bench. Maybe somebody did pass away if they had one more rolled off, or what would it be? If we've got time for that. But before we get
posthumous.
Into it, posthumous, exact posthumously. Before we get into that, just to let you know, we're gonna be at Movies in the Park the second weekend in August.
Which park?
Assiniboine Park specifically.
Ooh, ass park.
I've been saying this wrong for like 2 weeks, so I'm sorry, listener. The first night that we're going to be there actually is the 11th. That weekend is Turning Red and E.T., not Soul and E.T. I confused Soul and Ghostbusters of the following weekend. And then for September long weekend, we're going to be there.
You are correct. He played Donatello.
Thank you.
For some reason, I thought it was fucking Michelangelo.
At least I can get something right today.
All right.
So, August 11th, and then September long weekend, we'll be there for Guardians of the Galaxy, as well as Super Mario Brothers. So if you see us hanging around.
Like the new Super Mario?
New Super
or the
Mario,
original?
New Super Mario. Oh. I wish it was the original Super Mario.
Do you like the original?
I love it.
Really?
I love how bad it is. It's so good.
It's so bad.
I know. But it's John Leguizamo.
Yeah, but the new one's so good.
Bob Hoskins.
Yeah, it's true.
It's Shmee.
It's true. I just feel like that was such a decline for Bob Hoskins because, you know, for me, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, he's so fucking good in that. And then that's like kind of the next kind of kid slanted movie he does, and it just sucks.
I know.
In comparison.
I'm going to finish this and then we can get into it. September long weekend. So if you kids want to come over and talk to us, that's all I'm saying is that we're going to be there. We're going to be hosting. We actually have hosting duties. We've been asked to go on stage and host the evening. So you'll see us on stage. And then if you see us hanging out, one of the two movies, we're going to be doing a live podcast talking about it. So if you have an opinion, an idea on the matter, just come over and say hello. We're very friendly. Again, that's August 11th and September long weekend. Subscribe to the show so you can never miss out. Oh, she's down here. This was what I was worried about this weekend, Rob.
What, the cat coming down?
The cat coming down.
Whatever.
Well, Sean is away at the cabin here, listener. So,
are you allergic to cats?
I'm not allergic to Benny.
I'm not allergic. I'm not allergic to cats.
No.
Who can be allergic to that much cuteness?
Let me just get her out of here, and I'm going to lock her in the room for a minute.
All right.
All right, cool. So, Assiniboine Park kids, come see us. It'll be a good time. Let's get into it.
Ass Park.
Ass Park, yeah. For us locals, it's Ass Park. Let's step off this mortal coil, Rob. Let's talk about what we watched this week. What'd you watch?
You want to do movie first or you want to do TV series first?
Bartender's Choice.
Bartender's Choice. I'm going to go with the TV series. So, last time I was on the podcast, I was I'd watched, I think, the first three or four episodes of Silo.
Yes.
Silo is now finished.
Yes.
Holy fuck, that show was great.
Yeah, followed up.
And I think it's just, I think a big part of it is there's kind of like a cover-up aspect of it and kind of like a controlling a populace. And I'm seeing so many similarities with what's going on right now, you know, with censorship and freedom of speech and those things.
Yeah.
And, you know, how it's not really in your face right now in our society, but it's like inch by inch.
It's in the margins.
It's moving and they're getting in. I just love anything that's kind of tackling something that to me is a contemporary issue that's arising right now in society.
Yeah.
And I love 1984 and those kind of things. And I just love a sci-fi dystopian kind of world and stuff like that. And it's a good kind of detective kind of thing. And
good old whodunit.
It's a good whodunit. And like, you know, Tim Robbins is so fucking good in it as the bad guy. And it ends really well. It's been renewed for a second season.
I read that.
And they're just about to start filming. And but I think the actor strike might put a little bit of a delay. So
Just a wee bit.
But I feel like that will...
That show had great reviews, too.
Like, yeah.
That's not going to go... That's not going to die on the...
No, it's not. And I think there's a lot of cool... And I'm not gonna spoil anything. It ends with really kind of leaving it... You're like, oh, shit. There's a lot more possibility to this.
And, is that the end of a cliff I see?
not quite. But
no?
But let me put it this way. There might be more than one Silo.
Interesting.
And I'll just leave it at that.
So when you say that, because I know loosely you've watched it. I think who else started watching it? I think maybe it was Ian that started watching it. Someone I know started watching it, and they said the exact. We've stay on one thought, Michael. It had this feeling of like these people are buried in the ground for a reason,
mm-hmm.
and burying people in the ground just has like I get my lost ears go up, right? Like a time island, a polar bear in the middle of a tropical space.
I think in
like,
this situation,
weird kind of shit.
The outside world is poisonous and dangerous and will kill you.
Sure, okay. So Cloverfield, the Cloverfield paradox.
Or I'm kind of thinking, you know, there was apocalyptic, or there was a nuclear holocaust, or maybe you know comets crashed in, or you know,
yeah, some sort of cataclysmic
insert some kind of cataclysmic thing, and humans basically built these in time to basically save humanity in an underground concealed way, right? And having a unit.
Was that a ruse? Is that a ruse, I mean?
It's alluding to, you know, possibly what's happened already in human history with the Younger Dryas comet strike and, you know,
a previous
civilization going underground. And they found these massive underground catacombs and labyrinths in Turkey that could house tens of thousands of people.
Sean has been in those catacombs,
and
by the way.
And they're starting to think, holy shit, you know, were these built to protect humanity during this cataclysm? Because after a comet strike like that, there would have been several years where you wouldn't have been able to live on the surface very well. So you go underground for a while.
And I mean, that's a great script, taking off of how there may be a civilization that we haven't acknowledged.
Truth is stranger than fiction.
Right. So pull that shit.
Yeah.
Rebecca Ferguson. I mean,
she's great.
She kills it.
She's great. I'm excited to see her in the Mission Impossible movies as per usual. And I'm super excited to see her in the second chapter of Dune.
I'm going to give Silo shot eventually. I found myself watching, what the fuck was the name? I stopped watching it recently. What was the show you told me to watch on Amazon Prime that was made by the same producers as Westworld? It's the one with the
Peripheral.
Universe. Peripheral, thank you.
Yeah, Peripheral's pretty cool.
I knew it was a P word.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's basically where you can go into, VR games have gotten to such a level.
Yeah.
And they're basically able to.
They take you into the future.
She's able to go into the future and go into, like, an android body.
I took your advice on that.
It was fucking good.
I'm still watching it. Like I'm just picking away at it, but it's really well produced. It's really well shot.
It's cool how like London was basically destroyed.
Yeah.
And they've only rebuilt like a fifth of it.
With giant statues.
But here's the thing. Everything else looks like it is, but they just have holograms set up.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's an intact, fully built city.
But it's not.
But it's not.
I know.
And that's so crazy. And you think about it, and you're like, yeah, if you had limited population, you're trying to renew something and create this sense of well-being, that and you had that tech, yeah, you'd probably fucking do that.
Let's make a holographic building.
Totally.
Right?
Let's make a holographic green space over here where it's like desolate and fucked.
It's the holodeck.
It is, like, large scale.
No kidding.
Totally.
But yeah, so I'm going to trust you on this one. I'm going to get to it eventually. But
yeah, it's good.
How many ass kickings from Rebecca Ferguson do you give it out of 10?
I give it a solid 9 out of 10.
Okay, definitely.
It's one of the best shows that I've seen in a long time.
Sweet. What's the movie?
The movie for me is a kids movie.
Of course. Because the Lucy Watch.
So we went and saw Elemental.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've heard it's getting shit on. Is it good?
I thought it was good.
Yeah?
Everyone shits on it. You know why? Because, okay, so there's this like Elemental City.
Okay.
And you've got Earth, Wind,
fire, and water.
And water, right?
Okay.
And so it has some racial undertones.
Sure.
And, you know, the fire people come and they're basically ostracized and put to a different part of town. So it's got a very kind of immigrant kind of story kind of feel.
Interesting.
You know, newcomers come to a big city. Basically, it's got a very New York kind of feel.
Okay.
And, you know, it's kind of like a Romeo and Juliet where, you know, a boy who's of the water
falls in love with
a girl who's of the fire, right?
Oh, we get the Capulets and the Montagues, but
totally, right? But there isn't a feud, right?
Yeah.
But and you know, and there's
well,
and,
not yet,
and you know, so I don't see that as a negative thing, and there's definitely things
okay.
about acceptance and those kind of things, and I don't think it's, you know, it's definitely not treading on, you know, some stuff that would be controversial with, you know, non-binary or those types of things, which I know some people are like, keep, you know, let's tread lightly on that in a kid's movie.
Yeah.
I think this is pretty cut and dry from a, we need to be accepting of different cultures and backgrounds and those kind of things.
There is an attempt and it's there.
And I thought, you know what? You got to take it for what it is. It's a fucking Pixar movie, man.
It's a movie.
You know, if you have problems with Elemental, but you're not worried about the underlying theme of Adrenochrome and Monsters, Inc., then fuck you.
This week's Conspiracy Moment is brought to you by Rob Strachan.
Is it?
Anyways, so Elemental's great. It tries to put some themes in for kids to learn and get educated from.
You know what? And it's just, I don't know. It just has it has kind of a cool, different feel. And it's kind of like Zootopia in that you've got this really big, cool, modern city, but you've got different animals living together. And you've got predators and prey, right?
Yeah.
And this is like, you got this big, cool modern city, and you've got the four elements.
Yeah. Okay.
That's all.
How's the animation?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome. That just gets better every movie.
It does.
How
can they outdo themselves?
How can they do it? Yeah. How does it get better? It just gets cleaner and slicker and, yeah.
Who's the voice cast? I have no idea about this movie.
I can't even remember off the top of my head.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, whatever.
Doesn't
you were
matter.
Taken away. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter, man.
Fun characters. Who is your favorite element?
I like the fire elements.
Scratch that. Reverse it.
Yeah.
Hang on. What element do you most identify with?
I don't even know.
Are you fire? Are you wind? Are you earth? Are you grounded? Are you fluid like water? Are you hot like fire? Or do you blow in and out of the?
I don't know, man.
I don't know how to do wind.
I don't know. I'm gonna pass on that question.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. How many cute little Pixar slogans out of 10 do you give?
I would give it a solid 7
okay.
out of 10.
Yeah. Lucy like it?
Yeah. Like, you know, maybe a 6.5. Like, was it the best Pixar movie I've ever seen? No.
It's not Toy Story.
Right? It wasn't Toy Story. It's not Monsters, Inc.
Yeah.
There's no Adrenochrome in it. There, you know, we're not stealing children's screams to power our world.
V this way, Alex.
Anyway, but is there better Disney animated and better Pixar movies?
Obviously,
there is.
Yeah.
But was it good? Yeah, it was decent and it was fun to watch, you know, and Lucy enjoyed it, and you know, it was a fun, lighthearted movie.
Sweet. Did you go to Landmark?
No, I went to Scotia.
Ah.
Yeah.
All right. What did I watch this week? You know what? I have been let down by Marvel. I can finally say it.
Which movie?
Not movie.
Oh,
Secret Invasion.
I haven't watched it yet. Is it good?
Clunky. I'm bumping into shit. I'm only one episode in.
Mm.
Like, I had to really sit there for a minute and think where the... I'm a Marvel guy. I've seen them all, right? I had to really sit and think and be like, where the fuck has Nick Fury been? And I'm sorry if you know, you want to shit on me for that, but like... Not you, like them. But,
yeah.
You know what
no,
I mean?
I
like,
get it. I
like
get
it just it's for someone who signs by all this stuff and has loved it and has preached it for so long. They're now starting to get long in the tooth. They're now starting to get clunky. They're now starting to bump into shit because this one is a spy thriller. It's very Jason Bourne, but with superheroes. It's mm-hmm. got the Skrulls from Captain Marvel. That's the big thing. Because there was always been, you know what the Skrulls are? The aliens?
Of course, okay. Yeah, okay.
So Rhodey is being alluded to being
what the Skrulls are.
I don't know how deep
you're
you go.
You're hurting my fucking feelings.
I'm sorry. Come here. But like it starts off pretty neat. It has no superheroes. It has alien race. It has a really good undertone of a spy thriller, which I may or may not continue. Like, I'm only one episode in after I think it's aired for 3 weeks. Nick Fury in this is like an aging Wolverine. Like, he's not the Nick Fury that we've had for 20 years. And Martin Freeman's in it as Agent Ross from Black Panther.
Okay.
Ben Mendelsohn's back. Olivia Colman's fucking in it. Like, okay. It's got a good cast.
Yeah.
It looks fucking great. It on paper, it reads well, but like it's got no zhuzh. It's got it has a really lame intro fight scene because it's a Skrull who has a shape shifting capability but isn't a superhuman
and
fighting a human.
And they don't have the CGI budget because it's a TV show.
Exactly. Like they are saying that certain people are Skrulls, but they're not turning them into them because you save on CGI.
Well, the other thing is you know, and Marvel does this, right? Like, they'll have their different TV series, and it's like, this is a comedy, this is a drama, this is an action, this is a
they're very genre
this, you know, and I like that they do that. I think that that makes sense.
It does.
Right, because each comic book had a different theme and a feel to it.
Falcon Winter Soldier right? was a buddy comedy. It felt Lethal Weapon.
Totally.
Right?
But the whole point I'm trying to get here is maybe they're just not good at the spy thing. Especially, like, let's compare it to another series that's on TV right now that's spy-focused. Let's look at Jack Ryan on Prime.
Yeah.
Would it go toe-to-toe, be as fucking good as the Jack Ryan?
Well, I don't think it's trying to be as good as what Jack Ryan is, because Jack Ryan's really good. I think it's like superhero, humans and aliens, and it's such a hard right turn for the person who's been sitting there for a while watching everything, never mind the nonchalant watcher, right? The one who's never seen the show or any movie prior to, you need them to watch it. And it just doesn't give you a lot of backstory.
So you don't like the Hawkeye level superhero stuff.
No.
You want a couple levels above.
No. I'm fine with dirty dipping with Hawkeye. Like, that's fine.
But you know what I'm saying when
I get
that,
what
right?
You're saying, yeah.
Like, you got Hawkeye level, you got Spider-Man.
It's the tiers, yeah.
And then you go to the cosmic shit and, you know, that kind of thing.
Totally. And I, that's what I liked about all of them, because Falcon doesn't have superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
Winter Soldier's just got a mechanical arm. Like, those guys are not, they've got some strength, but actually no, Winter Soldier's been DNA modified, but Falcon hasn't. The point is that's not what the problem is. The problem is it just deviates so hard.
They're Hawkeye level.
Yeah, but they don't.
Hawkeye to Spider-Man.
Every one of these had like Easter eggs that was leading into the next part of the story.
Yeah, yeah.
This one is like Nick Fury's back, and it's like, okay, if the motherfucker Samuel L. Jackson's back, there's nothing really interesting about it. It's like this, you know what it is? It feels like The Last Jedi.
Was Robin in it?
Who? Robin?
Robin.
Robin.
From How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, but something happens to her.
Oh, no.
Maria Hill, you're talking about.
Yeah,
she's in it.
Okay.
Not for long. Spoilers. But
it's because they can afford her.
I don't know. And like I never got into the Skrull story. I mean, it's cool that, you know, a Marvel agent, a Marvel hero could be a Skrull, and we don't know. Yeah. They're alluding to Rhodey. They're alluding to War Machine.
Okay.
So, and I haven't even seen that episode yet. I've just been seeing the chatter online.
Yeah.
But all in all, it's not impressive. It's not WandaVision made me want to watch more. Loki made me want to watch more. Falcon Winter Soldier made me want to watch more. She-Hulk I fucking loved. Like, I wanted more of all of those. But this one's like,
I haven't seen any of those.
And that's fine. But those are characters. A lot of those, Loki, Falcon are probably the two that have the most airtime in all of the series.
Yeah.
Everybody else was really fun to get to know because they were like side pieces. They were weekend bitches, right? Like they were there, but they didn't have a lot of screen time. And so you gave these shows to them. And now it's like, I know what Nick Fury is. Nick Fury is this bad motherfucker who's been putting all these people together. And now he's walking on screen with a limp. It just doesn't track for me.
Okay.
Right. Aging. Yeah. It's like aging Luke Skywalker in The Last Jedi and making him grouchy. Like, you made the strong, badass, you know, take no prisoners Nick Fury.
I like that he was grouchy.
It's not popping like the other ones popped for me. So it's like a hard 6 out of 10 for that.
I actually think you're probably being generous.
Probably. Yeah. I am.
But again, you've also only watched the first episode.
Yeah.
And this
other first episode was like zing, pow, way to go. Okay.
Yeah, but sometimes a series, it takes 2 or 3 to get in.
Well, if they're doing a true spy thriller, they don't have more than 6 episodes. And a spy thriller are usually slow. With big action buildup, but like the mystery is slow. It pulls you in. It's not fast moving. And everything about Marvel's...
There has to be a catch right away.
Movie, Infinity Pool. Alexander Skarsgård and Mia Goth.
Yeah, everybody's talking about this. Infinity Pool? Where can I watch this?
Crave. Big old Crave, your favorite one.
Infinity Pool.
So...
Hey, Crave actually has 4K now.
Oh, well, that makes you happy.
Yeah.
I
just don't have HDR yet.
Jimmy told me to watch this. You saw it in the chat.
Infinity Pool? Okay, I'll check it out.
A writer goes to an all-inclusive resort with his wife, who's the money in the relationship.
This is Skarsgård is the writer?
Skarsgård is the writer.
Yeah. Skarsgård.
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 One of the 20. There's so many children in that family.
There's really only 3 famous ones.
I know,
ones.
But it's you just there's so many of them. Yeah. I confuse them. It feels like more.
What do you think about his brother playing the crow?
In a reboot?
Yeah, bro.
Like it?
Yeah.
That's which there's Peter, who's not a related, but Alexander, Stalin, who's Bill. Bill Skarsgård. He's going to be the crow?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane. I got to read up on that.
Anyway,
after.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. So writer goes to
I thought for sure you knew about that.
No.
Oh, okay.
Writer goes to an all-inclusive resort.
Yeah.
And he meets Mia Goth, who's there with her husband.
Okay.
And they're like, let's go into town and cause some shit. And they're like, you should stay in the resort. This is not a very safe space for tourists. Anyways, they go into town, they get drunk, they're driving back to the resort.
What country are they in?
They're shooting in Croatia, but I think it's made to be South America.
Okay.
So, like, kidnapping is not uncommon in the area. They allude to
it. Like they're in Colombia or, or Guyana or something like that?
They're bordering some town.
Okay.
So,
Or maybe even Mexico?
Who knows?
Okay, anyway.
They're driving back and they kill a man. Runs across the road.
Oh,
they
like
hit him with
the
car.
Okay, because they've been drinking.
This country has a special way of dealing with people who cause murder. The firstborn child of any family has the right to kill the person who killed whoever they loved, right? So this guy kills this kid's father. They have the crime. They have the trial. At the end of the trial, this cop tells him that in this country, we don't kill you. We make a clone of you that we kill. So imagine you commit a crime here in
Winnipeg. Are you ruining the movie by telling me all this?
I'm not ruining the movie.
This is like at the very beginning.
This is the very beginning.
Holy fuck. So they clone him?
Yeah. I'm not going to tell you what happens next.
What the fuck?
He may or may not have to watch his own death.
Dude, that is fucking crazy, bro.
He then may or may not meet a group of people who have figured out that they can commit all the crimes they want in this country because they never die. They just keep making a clone and killing him. Brendan Cronenberg, motherfucker. It'll rip your fucking...
It's a Cronenberg movie?
It's a Cronenberg movie.
No.
Cronenberg Jr.
Oh, it's his son.
Yeah. And Mia Goth is fucking on fire in this.
Nice.
Unbelievable. Like, it... The ending won't make sense.
I love me some Cronenberg.
The ending is going to be like, what the fuck? You're going to feel awkward. You're going to feel grossed out. It's going to be... It's very, very, very sexually charged.
Very visceral.
Super visceral. Awkward camera angles. The soundtrack is beautiful, but what's on screen is so fucking murderous.
Is there lots of gooiness?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I give it, like, it's not an amazing movie in the fact that, like, I came away from it being like, oh, huh, right?
Is it as gross as The Naked Lunch?
It can, yeah.
Or Existence.
Yeah.
Or The Fly.
It's in the wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, well,
it's Cronenberg-esque.
He's not deviating from his fucking, his flavor. It's a ride and a journey in, like, hedonism and
I love
and
that Skarsgård does this kind of shit. And he always does this kind of shit. Like, he'll do a crazy fucking dark action type movie.
Yep.
And then he'll do something that's like a total mind fuck.
Yeah. Like, he does Succession and then he does Infinity Pool.
Yeah.
Like he just bounces around. Like he's just playing characters.
He's a pretty small little role in Succession.
I know,
though.
But like so did Adrian Brody, but he was on Succession too, right?
True.
Like he's got a skill that he can just chameleon into whatever you want him to be.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a big presence, he's a very handsome guy, but he's got all this fucking range. Like I love watching him.
He was so good on True Blood.
as the, what was his name again?
Eric.
That's it.
He, fucking dope.
He was the one who like, he was like, the, he had the harem, right? Was that, or no, I'm so confused. I haven't watched that show in years.
He did.
Okay.
Yeah. And Kate was like his like right hand person. And Kate, fun fact, who's like the really, the blonde, very attractive vampire,
yes,
in that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fun fact, she played Manhands in the Seinfeld episode. Shut the fuck up.
Oh, that'll bully her, man. That's a fucking deep cut. Lobster cracking.
Not her actual hands.
No. Anyways, watch Infinity Pool. It'll blow your mind. I give it, I'll tell you this.
Okay.
I give it 8 out of 10 hand jobs for how fucked up this movie is. And when you watch it, you're going to think of me.
Eight out of 10 double fisting. Because that's more Cronenberg-esque.
No, what you see with this hand job.
All right.
That may or may not just surprise you.
All right.
Like, I've never seen anything like this in mainstream cinema before. It's pretty insane.
Okay. Okay, I'll watch it this weekend.
Yeah.
Family card
right.
Anyway,
Los Angeles
County. Yeah, man, we will fucking talk about it.
Let's talk about Sunday night on HBO.
HBO, and we just fucking talked about a wicked show on Sunday night.
So, like...
And that wasn't on the list, so we'll throw that as honorable mention.
I remember, and you just said this earlier, that streaming killed the fucking TV show, essentially, right?
It did and it didn't. Well, yeah, I think we're in the true golden age of television right now.
I completely agree. Like, but the exodus of cable holders who now just stream HBO, where I don't know, this is a guess. Maybe when there was more cable packages that were out there that were bundled
into
everybody's...
But HBO was like the last thing to get onto streaming. Do you know what I mean?
No, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So, it's relative. Like, think about Game of Thrones, right? Seven seasons? Eight seasons?
Eight.
Fuck.
Seven good.
Anyway, so for the first seven of those, HBO was just HBO. And then by the last season, you could stream it.
Sure. What I'm getting at, though, is that I don't know if...
But that's But what I'm saying is that's how.
Okay,
that's
no, I see
how
what you're
long
saying.
It was
saying.
Basically
yeah.
a channel that you had to watch at a certain time.
Oh, okay, you're
or
using.
Or you had
I get
to
it.
PVR
okay.
it.
Yeah, I get it. So for seven seasons, it was part of the cable packages, and then for the eighth season,
well,
it was just straight to streaming.
No, for like the first 6 to 7 seasons, people collectively all watched it at the fucking same time in North America.
Yeah. Okay, we're speaking the same
thing. Yeah.
But I just, Sunday nights on HBO are a fucking thing. Like,
it's like watching the Super Bowl. You know that there's another billion people simultaneously watching the Super Bowl with you at the same time.
It's the shared experience.
It's a shared experience.
But like, don't call me from 6 to 10 o'clock on a Sunday night when HBO is playing some of its best, right? Like, that's like calling someone in church. That's like calling someone at a funeral. Like, you don't call my house.
Believe it or not,
don't
though,
reach out to me when I'm watching HBO Sunday.
If you are
Sunday.
Trying to cold call people, the best nights...
I know, we're all home on Sunday.
...was always Sunday night because people are waiting for the week to start and was Thursday night because that was always best TV night.
Thursday night.
Friends and Seinfeld,
Friends
baby.
And Seinfeld back in the day, for sure.
And 2 and a Half Men.
What was your like first Sunday night HBO show? When did you get hooked into that 7 o'clock spot? Because it was 7 and 10.
I didn't have HBO right away.
No?
So
yeah, let's start there. When did HBO come in your life? Because it was always like the premier.
It was always a really expensive thing.
It was, and you couldn't get it.
So
that was the hard thing.
Well, the shows were on Super Channel. So Super Channel was the Canadian distributor, brought in those HBO shows, right? So even like when Sopranos first aired, it did not air right away in Canada.
Yes.
I caught it
on reruns when it finally came to Canada.
I think I saw it, like, by the time I saw it, it was already like 3 seasons in kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Saw it when it was re-airing on CTV at 10 o'clock at night.
Ugh.
Like,
they cut too much stuff out.
Water's down there.
No, thanks.
Welcome. But yeah, no, it was, and like people I knew who had it had the cheated satellite codes, right? With like the printed satellite card, or they had cable and
we had some money. We had Super Channel
and then
Super Channel changed to Movie Central, and then Super Channel became a separate thing from Movie Central.
Okay.
And then eventually Movie Central had HBO Canada. right? And then that was a channel that was part of Movie Central.
Interesting, yeah.
That's how the cable packages worked. I only know this because I sold fucking televisions for so long. So you always kind of had to know what was available. And my dad sure. loved TV and movies. Like, so we always had a really big cable package when I grew up.
A robust package.
I mean, we didn't have Super Channel when I was a little kid because it was too expensive. But do you remember the Super Channel preview weekends?
Yes.
Where they would...
Friday evening through Sunday night?
Yeah.
And then and, cut and, it right off in
and
the
I remember
of a
my
show?
My dad would be like, okay... So it's Super Channel weekend, and he'd go out and buy a bunch of blank VHS tapes, and we'd literally record every single movie that played
sure.
the entire weekend. So we'd have like six videotapes of like all the movies, because you could do long play on the videotape. So instead of being 2 hours, it was 8 hours, but the quality just dropped a little bit.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, man.
I love that.
Yeah,
that's so fucking ingenious. We're all staying home as a family,
yeah.
and we're just going to fucking binge and
yeah,
tape
man.
And binge and tape.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sundays in HBO didn't come. I didn't really get involved in HBO until
I was definitely in my 20s when I was first paying attention to the Sundays.
Mid 30s for me. Like, I'm a late fucking bloomer to
Crazy.
HBO. I didn't know it was Warner Brothers for the longest fucking time.
Well, because it wasn't for the longest time. It was an independent company. I don't think Warner Brother bought it until the late 90s.
Sure, yeah. But that's when I found out about it, right?
Yeah.
But like home box office, right? Didn't even know that for a while too.
Yeah, I think
I just knew
Warner
it was this...
Warner bought it after the failed AOL merger with Time Warner.
Okay.
Like that's I'm pretty sure. Or did Time own HBO? I can't remember. Something like that.
It's been
anyway.
Owned by so many fucking hands. But I just I didn't have it growing up, very basic cable package. Like mm-hmm. my mother didn't want to spend a lot of money on that.
Yeah,
we rented
that's
more
fair.
Movies or went to movies
totally.
And shit. But yeah, so I was super late to HBO and then was like playing catch up with all this shit from like the late 90s, like watching
yeah.
The Sopranos in your fucking 30s for the first time. And then I was like, I gotta chew through all this. I feel so
yeah.
ripped off that I never had it.
Yeah.
But that Sunday night thing is church for me. Like I'd throw my phone in another room. It was the only that was the only time where I've had a phone where like I could really like focus and like get pulled into something, right? Where I'm like, I don't want to miss a minute of
mm-hmm.
Game of Thrones. I don't want to miss a minute of Six Feet Under. Like I just.
Well, you also have to remember too is in the mid 2000s as well. That's when AMC really started hitting its stride.
Yeah.
And their shows were Sunday night as well.
Yeah, so
Mad Men was Sunday night.
Walking Dead was Sunday night.
So at one point, what was happening is sometimes I would record the AMC or the HBO show on my PVR and watch one of them live and then watch one of them afterwards.
That's how
you had to do it.
Exactly.
Because you were like, fuck, I love both these shows.
It's like going to a music festival. How do I see both bands at the same time?
Sometimes you just can't.
Sometimes it's all about sacrifice.
Or you watch half the set and then you run to the other
you
side.
Run the other side across.
But sometimes that can be a fucking kilometer,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, can. Lollapalooza, I've heard that's a...
Dude, it's fucking a walk, bro. You best be fit.
Okay, let me get this list up here so we can chew through this shit. So, as we've done in the past, good listener, we like to find other people's lists and chew them apart and see if they know
who's this from. Collider?
This is a Collider one.
All right.
So from Game of Thrones to The Sopranos, the 10 most iconic Sunday night HBO shows ranked.
Sunday night in quotations.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Because most of these were in the time of the PVR, so a lot of people would not have watched them live.
No, they wouldn't have. I most of my HBO experience is on DVD.
Most of mine was PVR. So what I would do is I'd have all the recordings set up,
yeah.
And sometimes I'd watch them live, or what I would, I'd jump in 20 minutes late or something depending.
Yeah.
Or
could you ever back to start with those back in the day?
Yeah.
You could. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
you
man.
I wasn't a big
PVR, bro.
My parents know so much about PVR. I know fucking jack shit about it.
Again, Sean I sold really televisions.
I know.
I would sell somebody a $3,000 or $4,000 TV and then go, you need this $7.99 HD PVR. Buy it now.
Number 10, Sex and the City. Did you ever watch it?
I did.
Yeah?
I always had girlfriends that really liked it.
Yeah.
Michelle is a huge fan of it. I mean, and it's one of those shows that's also, it's also lived in reruns and syndication.
Yeah.
So I've seen it. I've seen lots of them.
The topic never dies, right?
It doesn't.
Four girls living in New York. Like anybody in the world can experience that.
And they all have unique personalities.
They do.
And they purposely chose that. It's kind of like, they're like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles of ladies in their 30s.
That's perfect. No, it totally
you
is.
You know, but that's what I'm, and that's why this type of show works. Like the reason Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles worked is you had the kid that was the leader, Leonardo.
You had the brain.
You had the brainy, geeky kid, Donatello.
The bod.
You had the angst kid,
Raphael.
And then you had the goofy, fun-loving Michelangelo. So there was a character for each type of kid to identify with. And the same with this. You've got a lady, you know, are you a Miranda? Are you a Carrie? Blah, 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 kind of thing.
I liked watching it. I thought it was one of the first like risque shows that I ever decided to like take part in.
It also had boobs in it.
Right. It did have boobs.
You know, and when I came out, I was like 19 or 20, and I was like, oh, there's boobs in this?
Well, like also sweet. Too, like, I mean, at the time, you
as
got,
terrible as that sounds, that's just the way guys are.
98 to 04, like having the gay character storyline in it, like that, very progressive, very ahead of its time. Like, not a lot of stuff at the time.
Will and Grace was before that. Was right around the same time.
You're right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, HBO has never been shy of doing stuff like this, so I don't know really. No. I'm talking.
And honestly, I mean, it was a reflection of contemporary society at that time in New York, which, you know, New York had always had a prominent gay community.
Number 9, Big Little Lies.
Never watched it.
I did.
I've heard good things about it. It's just one of those things that you just don't have time to watch everything.
You want to talk about the personality types of women in a show?
Yeah.
This is like fast forward to 2023.
Okay. I like Reese Witherspoon.
Malibu is where it takes place.
Okay.
And all of these women have different shit going on in their lives.
Okay.
And Alexander Skarsgård's actually the big bad in the first season.
Oh, that's cool. Sweet.
He's the horrible husband to Nicole Kidman. And a murder takes
place. Oh, that's right. Nicole Kidman's in it. I forgot about that.
Nicole Kidman, Reese Witherspoon, Laura Dern, Zoe Kravitz, and...
Who can move their face the most?
I'm going to say...
Who has the least amount of Botox? Nicole Kidman.
No, Nicole Kidman, God bless her. I love how she claps. It's the main.
And listen. I'm just making jest of it. I always, I have friends that have gotten Botox. And it's so funny right after they get it, and they go, I can't move this part of my face. And I was just like, but you look great, so that's all that matters.
No, it was good. There was a mystery aspect to it. There was a murder that united all of them.
Okay. So that's kind of the underlying theme of it.
It was the underlying theme of it, and then the second season was them trying to get away with it.
Okay.
And then I think it got canned in the Warner Brothers. Purchase the most recent one. I think it got wiped from getting another season. It was a Reese Witherspoon produced show too. I think her and Nicole Kidman both produced it.
Okay, is it worth a watch?
It's worth a watch because even if they end
for three seasons,
for two.
Oh, actually. It's only two.
It's only two.
Does it end like?
It ends enough.
Enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
It ends. It concludes. Probably.
It's not like Fringe where it needed the fifth season.
You know, it didn't get shit canned at all. Succession, which I'm slowly closing in on right now.
So I am three episodes into the last season, and
I'm five episodes into season three.
Yeah, there's four seasons, right?
Yeah.
So it's a great show. It's slow. It's dialogue driven.
But it's contemporary as fuck.
You can't fucking play on your phone when you're watching it.
No, you need the subtitles on, you need the volume up, and you need to be locked the fuck in.
Fuck the subtitles.
Fuck
man.
You and your fucking
fuck
no subtitles.
The subtitles, man. Like, fuck.
I want to be able to understand my characters and what they're saying.
The fucking volume up.
It's all the way up. I like knowing that I didn't misunderstand what the verbiage was.
Then fucking rewind it. It's being streamed.
So you like Succession is what you're saying.
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I love the power struggle. I love the
big bad corporation.
I love how fucked up rich people are.
Yeah.
They're so fucked up.
Kieran Culkin, unbelievable performance.
He's great in it. It's modern day royalty.
Sarah Snook drives me fucking nuts.
You don't like her?
I do not. She's phenomenal.
Yeah.
I love watching her act. There's just something about her that I gravitate towards. But as her character, she's such a fucking.
She's an Aussie, eh?
Really?
Yeah, we're talking about the daughter, right?
Yeah,
she's an Aussie.
I did not know that.
Yeah,
very good, good job on the speech.
Don't you go on fucking IMDb and see where all these people are?
Not until it's all done, and then I want to find out all the shit I couldn't pick up on my own.
See, that's my problem, and then I'll go on IMDb, and then I'll
in the middle of the fucking show
miss something, and then I have to rewind it.
Yeah, no, Succession's killer, and I mean, it got 27 Grammy nominations this week. It's ridiculous.
Grammys,
Emmys. I said Emmys. Number 7. Game of Thrones.
Have you ever seen that Simpsons where they make fun of the Grammys? Oh, don't. No. Sorry.
No, wah, fuck wah, off. Wah. 2011 to 2019, Game of Thrones.
I mean, this show is fucking epic.
It is everything that I could ever ask for in a fantasy show.
I wouldn't go that far.
You are a heavy fantasy reader as a child growing up, so I know you've got a tighter net on that. But as somebody who never gravitated towards fantasy as a child, this is like, I wanted dragons. I wanted crossbows. I wanted beheadings. I wanted weird, like everything.
There needs to be more magic.
Sure. Yeah. The maesters were kind of, I would have loved to have seen.
The maesters are doctors.
Well, no, I know, but I would have loved to have seen them maybe pull some magic out of their heads.
No, there was
cloaks.
There was a little bit more magic in the books that gets glossed over in here. And I mean, there is the Red Lady and those kind of things. So there definitely is a little bit of
it. I looked at that as like a spiritual thing more than magic.
But that's what a lot of the magic is, though, man.
Okay.
Right? So
harnessing
depending on the types
of spirits and
yeah,
shit.
Like are you a necromancer? Well, you're pulling from the dead, right? So it just.
Oh, you're getting genre with your fantasy now.
Oh, dude. Fuck yeah, bro.
Yeah, I know.
Come on,
man. You got D&D written all over you.
Oh, fuck. I love that shit.
I know.
I love that shit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a great. I love this series of books, and I remember when I first found out, I didn't even know that they'd made it. I was watching HBO and I saw a trailer and I was like, what the fuck? They making Game of Thrones into a fucking TV series? I was so excited. And I remember watching that first season with my roommate and my girlfriend at the time, and they're like, oh man, Ned Stark's so fucking awesome. And I was like, oh yeah, man, he's such a good character. He's just like the character for the entire series. That's why they had casted Sean Bean, right? And I knew that he's fucking dying at the end of the first season.
So you laughed at that before the rest of us did.
Oh yeah. But I remember reading that page in the novel. I had to reread that page 5 times because I was like, what the fuck? Fuck you, George R. Martin, you just killed my favorite character. But that was the beauty. And never in a fantasy novel had anyone killed off the lead and the character you're rooting for the most, and you're like, dead. And you're just like, what the fuck? And you have to recap. Because you know when you're reading a book or you're watching a TV series, you're calculating in your brain where the story's going to go. Is it going to go
here? You
don't
want to be fooled. Yeah, you don't want to be tricked. Yeah,
that's the way, I think that's the way most people's brains are thinking, right? And, you know, you've got a trajectory of where you think the story's going, and then all of a sudden you kill this character, and now just shit's just fucking sent us shunder, and you've got to think of who's picking up the pieces.
It's
right?
A huge misdirection. It's something that you're told as a writer you don't do, right? Because you lose your audience instantly. But as somebody who, it was one of the first shows where I was like, I need to know the lore. I need to know all these things. I never read the books. I have the books. I've never read them. I mean to read them. I mean well, but like,
there's no point because he's never going to finish them.
No,
so
I'm
don't
not.
Even bother.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm
it'll
just
fucking disappoint you.
But like, it really made me go down rabbit holes. And
who do you think the three main characters are in the entire series?
I think Daenerys Stormborn.
Mm-mm.
I think Jon Snow.
Mm, yeah.
And I think Aya.
Arya. Really, over Tyrion, eh? It's funny, though, when you read the books paint it as being more the Lannister kids.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong.
Joffrey.
The Daenerys part is very important, but I always feel like the story always comes back around those three. Because Daenerys is always off somewhere else from the rest of the Seven Kingdoms, right?
But can get anywhere really fast because those ships have...
They're like fucking teleporters, man. They're like the fucking, it's like Doctor Who's TARDIS got fucking put into the fucking show.
Like a fucking DeLorean. Veep, I never watched. Did you watch?
Fucking great show.
I hear it's amazing.
It is fucking so good. I mean, I'm a huge Seinfeld fan.
Okay.
And she is so fucking great.
I hear.
Like she, and the funny thing is when you go back and watch Seinfeld, you know, you forget how good Elaine Bennis is.
Oh, she's...
How good that fucking character is.
More often than not, when I watch a Seinfeld episode, she is the center of a lot of what's going on. Like, when they're like, Elaine does this, but then this happens.
Yeah.
A lot stems from Elaine's
character. I actually think it's mostly about George and Elaine.
Sure.
And then Jerry's just kind of in the
Jerry's
middle.
Jerry's the
almost,
buffer.
He's the buffer. And then
Kramer's
and Kramer's just the crazy that comes in. And he's the Tasmanian devil that comes in. It's like that one episode where Jerry's like, I'm even Stevens. He's like, throw the 20 out the window. He throws the 20 out the window. He's like, oh, why did I do that? And he puts his coat on. He puts his hand in the pocket. He's like, $20. And that's where like Elaine's life goes to shit, and then George decides I'm gonna do the exact opposite of everything. My name's George. I'm unemployed. I live with my parents. Hi, my name's Victoria.
But like,
And he gets a job at the Yankees. Fuck, that shit's so good.
Everything that Julia Louis-Dreyfus touches is comedy gold. And I don't know.
She's fucking fantastic. She's fantastic.
She understands the assignment.
Yeah. And she's funny, intelligent, and such an attractive lady. And she's got the packet. She is. She's a triple threat. She's a triple threat in that respect. And she's so talented. She's so funny. And you can just tell that she just doesn't even have to. It's almost effortless the way she comes off with comedy.
It is. It's like watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat kind of shit. Like stuff that's so minute and nuanced. Yeah.
I always wonder too with that show. Like, did she just fall into that role, or did they almost write it kind of with her in mind? I don't know.
I would love a Seinfeld documentary one day, deep cut documentary.
And the reason I like Veep too is I like American politics, and it's almost like poking fun at West Wing.
That's what I've heard. Like it's like the Office for the West, or it's the West Wing for the Office, right?
Or Office for the West Wing, kind of. Yeah. Scratch that. Totally.
This one is near and dear to me. Number five, Six Feet Under.
Great show.
Fucking cathartic.
This was the first HBO show that I watched, like, as it went along.
Again, live. Missed it first time. I'd heard about it, and like there was a minute where I was like, I'm going to be an undertaker. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be a funeral director. I'm going to do this job, and then I stumbled across this and was like, holy fucking shit. What the fuck is, what is this smart show that each show deals with a different idea of death from a different person's perspective every single fucking time?
Yeah.
Like that writing that mechanism was fucking brilliant because it had me in every fucking episode. And Nate's character, the growth of Nate from the immature bachelor to like the father to losing his fucking mind to cancer and dying and it was so brilliant because everybody always wants to have that conversation with the person that left them and they never got to have. Mm-hmm. And all of those, it's this like little dose of closure on a hard subject. I don't know. That you watched it live, you said?
I watched it as the seasons went along.
So you were glued, obviously.
It was great.
My God.
Yeah.
So like, okay, so.
I mean, I like Dexter better.
Sure. That's how I like my Michael C. Hall, bloody and stabbing people. But his storyline
instead of broody gay guy,
Well, but he's great at both, right?
But that shows his
range.
Correct. He's a phenomenal actor.
And English too.
Is he British?
British, English, Irish. He's UK.
Oh yeah, that's right. Because in Gamer, he has a UK accent. That's like the only movie where he does.
That's the true Michael C. Hall.
That's right.
I just loved its subject matter, being a guy at the time, I think I was going through something where I was like kind of coming out of some shit and maturing and like trying to be a better person. So I followed Nate's character to a fucking T.
Nice.
In my humble opinion. There are very few finale episodes as good as Six Feet Under, where it's like, where do these characters go? And they flash forward all of them and where they all ended up with. And each one is like, I got chicken skin right now. Like, it just pulls you in a little bit more. Where does everybody
end? Chicken skin?
Yeah, like goosebumps.
Okay.
Yeah, chicken skin, goose, whatever.
Okay.
Six of one, a half dozen of the other. Right. But yeah, no, it was, I was like, oh, HBO can do shit. That's a good fucking show.
Yeah. What's the next one?
Next one. Angels in America. Did you ever watch this?
I never watched this show.
I have it. I love it.
Is it good?
It's good. It's about AIDS.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It's a mini series.
Okay.
Set during the 80s, during the Reagan administration, during the AIDS crisis.
Did Fauci.
Yeah, Fauci.
Take this AZT.
Yeah, no, very prominent in it.
I don't want to take this AZT. You're not even giving it to cancer patients.
Fucking
it'll be fine as a long-term fucking thing for AIDS. It'll totally work.
Totally in it. Mm-hmm. Al Pacino's in it. Jason Patrick.
Oh, Al Pacino's in it. Okay.
Yeah. Patrick Wilson, Patrick Stewart, the Patrick from Insidious is in this. It's like, you know those shows where there's seven different people having seven different experiences that all cross over?
Yeah.
Angels in America, but AIDS.
Okay, cool.
Miniseries. One of those like powerful miniseries that HBO does every once in a while.
Yeah.
Give it a shot, man. Like it's
okay.
Now watching it literally 20 years later, because this premiered in 2003, it would be an interesting one. Al Pacino plays this bit. I think he's a lawyer.
Is it letterboxed?
You're 4x3.
Or am I going to watch a shit 4x3?
I think you're going to watch a shit 4x3.
Pass.
You might. You can get through it. It's for the sake of fucking art. Okay, now we're on to number three.
It's widescreen, dude. I'm kidding. It's 03.
Band of Brothers?
Fucking love this show.
Oh, my God. Right? Right?
Love this show.
Karen Tan. Fuck. Everything this is well, I mean, Spielberg said this is what I would have rather have done instead of Saving Private Ryan, and he did it. Like mm-hmm.
Think how good Saving Private Ryan is, and for him to take everything about that, but then extrapolate that over, is it 10, 12 episodes? No, 13 episodes.
13 episodes.
This is fucking old school HBO.
It is.
When it was like 13 1-hour episodes. So listen to this, HBO, if you're fucking listening. Stop this 8-episode, 10-episode shit. Fuck you. Go back to your format.
Yeah. Give us what we want.
That is all. I'm done.
I've never.
I'm done with the podcast now.
There's a. Drop. You hear that? That was a drop. Listen. Band of Brothers.
So good.
In the world of wartime.
And
cinema?
Think about how many guys that played roles in this.
David Schwimmer.
Went on and played all this stuff.
What's his face from Billionaire or Billions?
Damien.
Damien.
It's not Olsen.
Damien.
I'm brain farting right now.
Anyways, like it launched a fuck ton of careers. It pulls at your heartstrings because you're watching these fresh.
Damian Lewis.
Thank you. Damian Lewis, who's also English. But pull at your heartstrings and watching these boys go from like not knowing fucking shit to mm-hmm. being broken by war.
Well, and Damian Lewis's character starts off as like, you
I don't want to be in charge. I want no responsibility. And then by the end,
and he's a fucking major at the end.
Yeah.
You know? And he's like, keeps getting forced in and just, you know, just owns it. Did you like the...
I'm sure I did.
The second one of this that they did? The Pacific one?
Yeah. I can't Flags remember. Of Our... Flag of...
No.
That's Clint Eastwood, Flag of Our Fathers. Battle of the Pacific, right? No.
Yeah, it's the Battle of the Pacific.
Yeah.
But what was it called?
What the fuck is the name of it? No, I never did watch it.
It has... it's called The Pacific.
Okay.
So it's got James Badge Dale in it. It's got the kid from Jurassic Park is in it.
Oh, like Timothy?
Yeah.
Who gets electrocuted?
Yeah.
I jumped.
Yeah. It's really good too. I just like it because I'm fascinated by World War II, and I love that, you know, you're seeing the Band of Brothers, which is showing you the European front, the German front,
yep.
And then you got the Pacific, which is showing the Japanese front. And the Japanese front is way more savage. Like, way more fucking people died.
That was guerrilla warfare in the jungle.
Well, no, because you fucking had to, like, fucking land on the little island and fucking take the fucking beachhead. It fucking takes a lot of men to do
that.
Didn't
they do that in D-Day?
Yeah, once.
Oh, okay. Oh, each island is what you're...
Each island, you gotta fucking do that.
Okay, we just did
Okinawa,
guys.
You're like, oh, we're gonna do Guam. Now we're gonna do Iwo Jima. Like, you know what I mean? Each one of those things.
You didn't tell me there's 10 islands, guys.
There's like fucking 50.
All right, yeah. No, Band of Brothers does...
It's funny, though. Whenever I see World War II footage from...
A show or a movie?
The Pacific
okay.
front, it always seems to be like in color, and it always looks like it's newer. And then when you see the European front, it's always in black and white. It always seems like it's more old-timely, even though they were happening simultaneously.
Interesting. No, I never noticed. Number two.
Best cop show that's ever been written.
I walk through the garden.
Fucking love
Number two is
show.
The Wire Listener, 2002, 2008. Oh, my God. Stringer fucking Bell. We talk about this more often than I think we talk about anything else on the show.
You think we bring up The Wire a lot?
We bring up The Wire so much.
It's so good.
That's why.
It's so good. Listeners, if you haven't seen the show.
David Simon at his best.
Take the time and watch it. It will take you the first three episodes. You're going to be like, oh, what is he talking about? And then you're going to get in to that third or fourth episode. And you're going to be like just fucking hooked.
And like now you can go and read about what episode may have confused you as opposed to having to watch it live. So like don't let the heavy cop dialogue push you off from watching this. Like mm-hmm. like Rob says, three episodes in, all of a sudden it's going to click. You're going to understand who's doing what, why they're doing mm-hmm. it, who the major mm-hmm. players are. Mm-hmm. And it's this fucking Shakespearean cop drama that just unfolds.
And you're just fucking the deep of it. And each series adds another layer or element on how all of this works together.
And it's really and one big problem.
It's a one giant problem.
It's the right? city of fucking Baltimore's political and criminal yeah. aspects.
There's the criminal side of it and the cop side of it, and then you bring
politics,
and then you bring in the fucking
the working
civil
man
politics,
on the docks.
And then you bring in the longshoremen, and then you bring in the fucking state politicians, and then the last season they bring in the fucking newspaper and the media aspect of it.
It's so good.
Which is where he came from.
Exactly, yeah.
Because he was a writer for the Baltimore Star, I think, right?
Yeah.
Or the Herald, or whatever.
It was an article he did
yeah.
for the newspaper that then he turned into a show
yeah.
and became the David Simon that we know today, who gives us so much good fucking shit on mm-hmm. HBO. Number one, goes without saying, Tony fucking Soprano.
Sopranos.
I, like I said, CTV was where I tripped over The Sopranos for the first time. It was the late night reruns from like 10 to 11. And I was like, I need to get, because it was like, I was already into season three. Yeah. So I didn't have enough. I was like, I need to watch this from scratch. And then that's when
it's a great series, man. It's a fucking fantastic series. So let's throw out a couple honorable mentions that weren't on the list. So a couple that stand out for me, True Blood is one.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of True Blood. I always liked
campy,
it.
Campy, but fun.
But fun, and it doesn't take itself too serious, but it made vampires sexy again.
It did.
And
before
very
they glittered.
Adult. Yeah, this is before they shimmered and drove Volvos. And I say that as a guy that drives a Volvo. And then the big one for me is Silicon Valley.
Yeah,
I was watching it the other day, and there's a few cringe-worthy parts in it, but fuck, man, like, there isn't, it takes a lot for me to watch a comedy show and laugh out loud by myself, and that show made me laugh out loud by myself.
I watched that show by myself for the first time as well, too. I was like, what's this about? And the first episode just fucking hooked me.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, Silicon Valley, Incubator House, everybody wants to be fucking Zuckerberg, give this to me in a fucking dump truck, like, fucking feed me all of this, right? And you've got every archetype. You've got the fucking wannabe Zuck. You've got the weird CEO who's like eating Burger King at the end of the fucking episode.
No,
right?
No. That's the VC guy.
The venture capitalist
guy. Then you got the
guy
who's
totally a play on Peter Thiel.
Yeah, 100% he is. And then you got the guy who's like, you know, running
the evil guy from the other corporation.
Hooli
and Pied Piper. Oh my God. I think we can both agree.
I love it. Like Gavin, whatever his name is. And then there's that thing where they make that special box and they have his signature.
Yes.
But it looks like a dick and nobody wants to tell him that it looks like a dick. He's like, this looks great. And then later he's like, it looks like a fucking dick. Why didn't any of you guys tell me this?
No, it was beautiful. It was nice and quick too, but I loved like a half hour and an hour. HBO was like, we're going to give you a half hour of something.
Mike Judge is fucking so great.
He's so brilliant.
He's so great.
Idiocracy is prophecy. Yeah. We didn't know.
It is prophecy. Look at all these fools wearing Crocs.
Right? Fucking knew this shit. Next thing you know, I'm going to be able to go to a superstore and buy a tub of sludge that has all my proteins and minerals that I need in it. I'm just going to be sitting there like Dax Shepard eating it in my fucking house. Like if that shit comes out, we're fucked.
Are we?
Honorable,
or we're living in the Matrix.
We are. Because everything tastes like chicken. My honorable mentions.
You imagine it tastes like chicken.
My honorable mentions.
If you think about it enough, my it's honorable like you're mentions, eating runny eggs.
My honorable mentions.
Yeah.
Entourage.
Yes. So, Ari fucking Gold.
Jeremy Piven. I mean, you want to talk about cringeworthy moments, but still, like, him, what was his assistant's name again? Ari and
Sam.
No, that's Steve.
It's on the tip of my tongue. I know who you're talking about. Yeah, he was so funny.
But it was a fun play on like the boys hanging out,
Harry,
doing shit. Harvey,
Harold.
You
keep talking. I'll look it up.
But it made me want to back up and go to fucking Hollywood. I loved when I found out in like the second season it was based on Mark Wahlberg's early days in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like I had no fucking.
Well, he was a producer.
Well, that's why he cameos in every fucking season. It's just like Mark Wahlberg being himself, giving is it Chase?
Lloyd.
Fuck. Ari and Lloyd. The shit he would give him. I mean. Today
and Lloyd,
yes.
Lloyd would take it, and then eventually
Lloyd
becomes almost like his equal.
Lloyd becomes Ari.
Totally,
Ari is Lloyd. Lloyd is Ari.
Yeah. And in this weird way, that's how much Ari loved Lloyd.
Well, he even says
he shit on him because he wanted him to be great.
He was carving him out of marble.
Totally
right. He wanted to make this hard chiseled thing.
Isn't that the line he talks about or something?
Probably.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was silly. I sat there going.
James Cameron Aquaman is so fucking good.
Okay. Like, that whole, and then like the Medellin story where he wants to be the fucking Colombian drug lord. He wants to be, what's his fucking dick?
Pablo.
Just sitting there trying to figure out what movie or show was actually from Wahlberg's career. Like, what was Aquaman in Wahlberg's life? Right,
yeah.
Trying to figure that stuff out, playing all that shit.
I don't think that actually was. I think they just played on it because it. Just,
you think
it,
so?
Yeah.
Don't ruin this for me. I want it to be about Mark.
No,
Wahlberg's
I think the inspiration of the show was
okay,
but I think they pulled from various
story
arcs or
maybe,
things.
Yeah.
In general ideas of show business and Hollywood in general.
The Hollywood lifestyle.
Correct.
Things that other actors may or may not have done.
Correct.
Yeah. Or inspired by. Like correct. Somebody's meltdown, somebody's yeah. career
and
flaw.
The other thing about Entourage, too, is they would get those directors to actually come, right? So James Cameron would be in the episode, and he would have cameos throughout for the next two seasons alluding to the Aquaman story arc.
Well, and using...
And that's great. I love that, you know, the directors and writers will do that kind of thing.
The meta of Tinseltown being the plot of the show, like navigating mm-hmm. Hollywood as yeah, a young yeah. actor, like Hollywood doesn't let people make fun of itself, right? That's not a thing that they do because everyone else makes fun of them all the time, right? Super overpaid actors, rich CEOs, abuse, all that shit that everyone loves to get.
Yeah, but they also make lots of money.
No, they do. They totally do. Yeah. But like, it was fun to
see.
It's
a profitable fucking business.
Well, you could see that they were taking liberty with themselves, which yeah. was fun for once, yeah. right?
The difference is that you're aware of what celebrities are in the zeitgeist, right? So you see how much money they make, and you go, holy fuck, they're rich. But you know. You don't think the fucking stock traders in fucking New York make more money than fucking, like, actors? Like, some of these actors worth $100 million? That's not fucking rich.
No. That's like, not fuck you rich.
Fuck you rich is a billion plus. You know what I mean?
The fucking goalposts have
you know,
changed
like,
on that.
Like, how many actors are worth $1 billion? Arnold, maybe at one point, and maybe Tom Cruise?
Yeah, but not liquid billion, but, like,
but
assets
no, dude,
billion.
No one's a liquid billion.
Bezos.
No, he's not.
Even after he divested?
Dude, he
why am I getting into business conversations with a guy who reads every fucking business journal? So.
Anyway.
With that said.
That's why rich people don't pay taxes because they don't have income.
What do you think Jeff Bezos' favorite Sunday night HBO show would be?
Would be Game of Thrones.
Would be Game of Thrones. What's yours? Out of all of them that ever happened, what's your fave? What's the one that you, what's your ride or die? And then we'll move into TMNT.
It's probably Game of Thrones.
Probably Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
All right.
Even though the last two seasons were a little leery for me.
Yeah, they do veer. But they are off book from what, I mean, everyone knows they had no more books to
they had no more books.
Pull from.
So they had to do the best they could.
Worst one? If you could pick a worst one?
Ugh, I can't even think of the worst one right now. Carnival.
That was, yeah. I tried to get in a trem, but it was just too depressing because it was right after Hurricane Katrina, right? So it wasn't like... This what it. I mean, it was great to know the story of Blues in New
yeah,
Orleans.
Yeah, but Trem, they gave him like four fucking seasons.
It had a lot of time. That was also David Simon too.
But that's when HBO was like, "We'll be committed to the show forever, even if it's not doing that great." And you're like, "Okay, that's cool. I respect that." But sometimes you just gotta cut your losses.
You know,
but then they would cancel other things. You're like, "But that was so good."
Mine isn't on this list.
What was yours?
Westworld.
I only got halfway through season two, and I got bored.
I don't want to tell you how dark the week was when they canceled it. That was a real big, that hurt. Yeah. Like, I actually viscerally had an
experience. I heard season three is amazing.
It is.
Yeah.
It gets right back into everything that season one was. And I, it, it's the first show.
Well, it's also got Aaron, what's his face in it, right?
Paul? Aaron Paul?
Aaron Paul, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's actually heavy in season three. And
have you seen the new Black Mirror with him?
No.
Episode with him and fucking.
I've only seen Everyone Hates Joan, or Joan is Awful. Something about Joan.
Yeah. The second one is the one with him and, fuck, I can't remember his name right now. Minnesota native actor. He's like my age.
I'm going to be watching it. I just, yeah. Every time I mean to sit down for it, I'm just not in the fucking mood. Do you think this list got it right? Good list? Bad list?
I think it's a good list.
I think it's a good list.
Yeah, I think it's pretty spot on.
Good job, Collider. Well done. Moving on. So, like we said, it's TMNT weekend at the beginning of this thing. That's the whole reason we're doing this, because who fucking doesn't love the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? So, we own TMNT. TMNT's ours, right? I think this is our childhood, as we were talking at the beginning of this. I was six, you were...
Transformers is bigger for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. When did TMNT come into your life? Because it was obviously... That was cartoon before...
So, Transformers for me was like, I was 5, 6.
Okay. So then 8, 9 is TMNT.
TMT, yeah, I was about 8 or 9. I was like 10 by the time it was really getting big. So it was bigger for my brother.
Okay. Because
right?
He was 2 years behind,
yeah.
So it timed out.
So
yeah.
Like I never really, my brother owned all the toys and I played with them. Whereas yeah. Like I owned the Transformer toys.
Got it.
Like the
you had the ones that came with instructions.
you know what I mean? Like the Transformers were the ones I got for Christmas and my birthday. Whereas the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles
toys, hot new toy. It's the
were
hot
the
newness.
Ones that my brother got for his birthday and Christmas. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Did you guys?
It's still a huge part of my life. Like
yeah.
I watched that cartoon like I am all about the OG cartoon.
Me too.
I fucking love that.
Me too. No matter how many animated
Shredder? Where's my bocce Shredder?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Teenage Mutant, right? Like it, like
do you know who wrote that song?
Who?
Chuck Lorre.
It's probably why he's got so much money today. Right? Every time that song played, he got paid. That's the more you know. I think it was a Saturday morning cartoon for me. I'm pretty sure it was a Saturday morning cartoon.
No, it was after school.
Was it an after school?
I'm pretty sure it was after school. I'm wrong.
I don't know.
I can't remember.
Maybe 2 years later they changed the schedule.
Whatever, man. Yeah. It was fucking dope. When it came out, it was so big.
It was huge. You had this brain walking around in this contraption. You had a guy
Shredder
named Shredder.
Was so fucking cool and
he
jacked.
Was fucking shredded.
Bebop and Rocksteady.
Right? Mutant Warthog, Mutant Rhinoceros, who also drank the ooze.
Yeah, and they were like these punk guys that fell into the ooze and they became them.
With the ring through his nose like a punk, right?
They were so good, man.
And then you had Splinter.
Master
Zen Splinter. And then you had these four fucking kids.
I also love the fact too that Splinter, before he got into the mutagen, he was a man. He was a human, and he and Splinter at one point were friends. And then
they had a backstory.
And then they became arch enemies.
Yeah, like the Ninja Gaiden stuff or the Kenan Ryan shit. Right? You always need a fucking nemesis. I forgot about that because in my head, he was a rat in the movie, but in the show he was a human,
which was stupid, and that was so fucking stupid because they show that scene where there's like the
I also learned
how to fight by watching him. So then when I got into the mutagen and became a large rat, I could teach. And
who voiced Shredder again? Was that Ken Watanabe or was that Sonny Chiba?
For the cartoon?
Sonny Chiba was Shredder. No, for the movie. I don't know who did the voices for the show, but for the movie, I believe Sonny Chiba was Shredder, if I'm not mistaken.
For the movie?
For the movie, the first one. Ice Ice Baby one. Go Ninja,
Ice,
Go Ninja, Go.
Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go.
No, but yeah, okay, back to the cartoon for a second. Yeah. You're totally right. It was, and for like all the other cartoons around it, I'm like, yeah, talking robots was fucking sick, and like G.I. Joe's doing stuff and He-Man doing stuff, but like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is funny in itself, one of the slowest animals in the fucking kingdom, and it's gonna be a ninja. Like that on its nose was interesting. The pizza aspect, so much fun. We're all kids. Like that shit was gimmick. Can I stop talking and you can confirm this or what? What'd you find?
Keep going.
No, who was in Shredder? I'm dying to know.
Oh, I haven't found it yet. I'm looking.
All right, fair enough. But yeah, no, I just... I was,
Splinter was Kevin Clash, who is the voice of Elmo.
Elmo.
Shredder was James Sato.
These are the voices?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, he actually played Shredder. So that's the guy who plays the... have you seen that movie with Derek Park? That comedy?
No. Don't know.
Be My Maybe Something or whatever.
Maybe Be My Always?
Yeah.
Sure, I've heard it. I think I've heard of it.
Super fucking funny. He plays his dad. But anyway,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. But no, either way, like that show of
its time.
It's
not Derek Park. It's something Park.
Was just so, I think it was one of the more fun cartoons. Like
it's just fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's action. It was light. You know, it didn't have any crazy violence. It basically took a page out of G.I. Joe, He-Man, and Transformers. It was the next thing.
When, I don't know if it was when the movie launched or when.
It was also based off a badass comic, too.
Oh, that's right. It was a comic. It's been a comic for a very long time. It still gets recycled. I saw it at a comic show, Mark, was at. I can't remember if it was the cartoon or if it was the movie, but the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles became so big at one point that they had like a traveling rock concert that you could go with your parents to, and I went, and they were all in costume on stage.
It's almost like going to see Gwar.
Yeah, it was very similar to seeing Gwar, except like they would do ninja shit instead of like
go ninja, go.
Jerk off a big dick into the front crowd because, you know, we're all six at the fucking time.
You mean that wouldn't be appropriate?
Probably. Well, I mean, it was the
late 80s, early 90s. It wouldn't be appropriate for like grown men to show their genitalia to kids?
I'm pretty sure that would. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's weird.
But
it seems to be happening all over the place.
How excited for you? How excited were you for the fucking movie though? Like when that shit became real
at that time, I was very excited. Like I was like 11. It was a cool movie to go see. But I remember watching the movie and after, like, being very critical and being, and to me, the fact that Splinter was a rat,
yeah,
that then, you know, At 11, I thought that that was stupid.
I kind of had issue with that,
like,
too.
I was like, I remember being a kid and being like, this is fucking dumb.
This is not what I saw, Mom. What,
like,
is this?
This is fucking, why would you change that one thing of the story arc? It didn't make any sense to do
that.
Well,
and it's not a big leap. Like, you've got ooze that makes the turtles. You're telling me there isn't a machine that makes a fucking human into a rat? Like, we can't, like, I've seen The Fly. I know that there's a particle accelerator that probably works in some regard.
Whatever.
Not a big leap for the audience.
It wouldn't have been a big leap, and it would have been cleaner, better. And the thing is, everyone that went to see that movie had seen the cartoon.
Yeah.
So they knew the fucking backstory already. The backstory was in the fucking intro, for fuck's sakes.
That's very true. It was one of those cold opens that explained everything. It's like the pizza.
Because Chuck Lorre in an interview said, he goes, the whole point of the story of the opening theme song is we had to sell who these guys were, and that's what the song is about.
Sure, which is any great theme song. It explains what you're about to see in 3 minutes or less.
And get you hyped up.
Yeah, no shit. And it was such a great tune. Like, it was
Teenage Mutant Ninja.
Right? Like, it just fucking slaps.
Heroes in a Half Shell. Turtle Power.
I think I went to the movie at Killin' in Place. Pretty sure it was Killin' in Place.
Yeah, I saw it at KP.
And, like, had a huge crush, huge boner for
April.
For April. Loved her.
In her yellow jumpsuit.
Oh, God. Just like.
I like to jump that yellow jumpsuit.
When they
go
to
what you thinking as a little kid?
When they go to. Not the cartoon, man. I'm talking about the movie at this point.
She had a yellow jumpsuit.
Didn't
she?
She? Not in the movie.
Oh, yeah, she didn't.
She had it in the show.
It's weird how I'm transposing things from the cartoon.
Oh, I do that all the time,
the movie,
dude.
And vice versa.
Remember at the beginning of the show when I thought they were adults? Anyways, but
I was watching that documentary about the toys we are.
Yeah.
And originally the turtle toys, they sculpted them. They had tails. But when you looked at them, when they stood for the front, the tail looked like it was
a dick.
Triangle
dick.
So they had to remove the tails. So it didn't look like they had dicks.
Well, isn't that around the time where, like, the same body piece was used? Like, they just put a shell on a He-Man toy and called it a turtle? Like,
no, it wasn't quite like
that.
No. But when they were originally designing the toys, it wasn't really working. So they hired the guy that had designed the He-Man toy line. And
that's
brought
it. That's
him
the
in.
Story. Yeah. He was the guy who came up with, like,
he's the one that took the original designs.
Yeah.
Because you had the original concept art, and then those guys had final approval, but they brought a team in to design the toys. And then he came in and basically refined them, made them more badass and
more distinction,
cuts. Shredder was really skinny, and he was like, fuck that, Shredder's gonna be jacked. And he made Shredder jacked, and he's like, and we're gonna make the Foot Clan like zombies, and we're gonna make the turtles fucking more beefy, you know, that kind of thing.
I wanted to be a Foot Clan member so bad, because they had cigarettes and they had that ramp, that skate park. Remember in the beginning when Buddy shows up, the mayor's kid or the cop's kid?
Yeah, and they had,
the news anchor's kid.
The newspaper kid.
Yes,
And they had like stolen VCRs
right? It was so fucking.
And microwave ovens.
Fucking cook all my pizza pockets. But it made that, like, those are the liberties that they took.
I was alluding to Dire Straits there.
Oh. Sorry, I missed that one. But Vanilla Ice?
I know, dude.
Watching Go Ninja Go in the middle of a fucking movie?
He was so big.
That hair was fucking huge. Yeah. Those pants. Like, and I mean, that was cool, right? Where, like,
and all
sound...
he was thinking the whole time is, I'm going to make so much money and do cocaine off hookers' tits.
And then Suge Knight will hang me out of fucking Death Row Records by my ankles.
Did that actually happen?
That's a rumor.
Huh, interesting.
I wouldn't put it past Suge.
Probably.
I don't know him well, but, you know. First movie, good. Fun. Campy. The special effects are great. The costumes are awesome.
I think I saw the second one, but it's been so long.
That's Secret of the Ooze.
Think I actually ever saw it.
And then the third one is where they go to like
Japan,
old dynasty Japan, and become samurais and go through a portal, which is long. And like, I was like, this is too overdue. The second one was great because it was the science behind the ooze.
One in the theater. I feel like the third one was straight to video.
They all were
no,
theater
no,
release.
I saw,
oh, that's
I saw
when
it.
You saw it.
Cause remember when you were like, I don't know, this is how I used to make it with like movies. It would be like, I had three distinctions, right? It was, I'll see it in the theater.
Yeah.
It's a renter.
Yeah.
And it's I'll wait till it's on TV.
When it's 4 hours long with commercials.
When I get to see Yippee-ki-yay, Yippee-ki-yay.
Yeah. Yeah, when it's edited, because it's a 7 o'clock
edited,
starter.
Edited for TV.
Yeah. No, those are the good old days. I think and then like the two new ones, Michael Bay did one. And then there was an animated version after that.
So that Michael Bay live action one, I watched. With
Megan Fox's.
Watched the first 20 minutes, maybe the first half hour. And
how was she as April?
She was okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Was it relatively close to any story we've heard, or is it a whole new tale?
You know what? Maybe I did see the entire thing. It's been so long.
It looks like a CGI fuckfest.
It was, the CGI was, it's like it needed to be made 5 years later.
I saw a scene where
it
like
was very dark.
Yeah,
because they had to basically
very Warner Brothers.
Hide the limited budget.
It I never watched it. I mean, I was excited for it because I was like, oh, the turtles are back. But then I'm like, it's Michael Bay. I've seen every Michael Bay movie, so I'm just going to insert
it's
turtles
into
Bad Boys.
Though, it's Viacom.
Oh well, but still Michael Bay produced
Viacom.
But yeah, no, I stopped at three. That was I haven't seen any new turtle movies since.
The new one looks good though.
It does.
Yeah, I won't. What's it rated?
That's probably
PG.
I'm gonna guess PG. That'd be my guess, but I can't say for sure.
Might be a little too risque to bring my kid to.
I do like that they're really gonna focus and make me feel that I understand what a teenager is for once when it comes to a Ninja Turtle.
Well, it's because you're an old man now.
Well, yeah. Now I'm looking back through the lens of a 40-year-old man, and I'm like, those are fucking kids, right? But are they gonna be millennial turtles? Are they gonna be Gen X turtles? Like, what era are we playing in where these turtles exist?
They'll be Gen Z.
Gen Z, you think?
100%.
That animation is, with everything with Spider-Verse and everything we were saying, like,
yeah, it's cool.
I think we're fed up with your standard fair animation, and that's why these animated movies are Spider-Verse is doing so well. Even Puss in Boots, same thing, right? Yeah. Like that. Let's step away from
any of the fight scenes. They change.
Yes,
they change the speed of some of the animation.
That's the one and the two and the three thing I was telling you about, and it makes everything more fun because all of a sudden you're experiencing it, seeing it differently instead of the same
image. They stole that from anime movies, right?
Yeah.
So the first movie that I really remember seeing that in is Ninja Scroll.
Yes. Oh my God, I've watched Ninja Scroll.
So anytime there was a fast scene in Ninja Scroll, it had a similar effect. Not to the same degree that they're doing now, because now they're doing it with computers as opposed to cell animation, but definitely. Yeah.
I don't have my phone on me.
You can thank the Japanese.
Let me bring up the
What do you want to bring up?
I want to see who the voice cast is for
What?
For TMNT.
Oh, the new one? I'll look it up. So it is April is Ao Edebiri.
Yep, Ao Edebiri.
Leatherhead.
Oh, she's from The Bear. She's fucking great.
Oh, yeah.
I love her.
Oh,
awesome.
Rose Byrne is Leatherhead.
Oh, my goodness.
Guess who Master Splinter is?
I know it's Jackie Chan.
Fucking Jackie Chan. It's so great.
Seth Rogen's Bebop and John Cena's Rocksteady.
Oh, shit.
Right?
Paul Rudd is Mondo Gecko.
Are you serious? Yeah. They're going with... Okay, he's digging into cartoon era.
John Cena's Rocksteady?
Yes.
Dude.
Yes. Oh my goodness. This is going to be insane. Are you going to go? Would you go see this in the theater with me?
Yeah.
Because I would go see this.
Ice Cube is one of the characters.
You're kidding me.
Post Malone is a character.
Giancarlo Esposito, the chicken man from fucking Breaking Bad.
And then it's a bunch of younger, like, you know, newer kids that are doing Donatello. And
Hannibal Buress is Genghis Frog. Rose Byrne is Leatherhead. Oh, these are Wingnuts? Oh my God, they're going with Baxter Stockman, Ray Fillet. These are characters. These are toys that I had. These are absolute fucking. You know
I was
what?
Just gonna say, they're
dude,
they're toys.
If you
they're
look, they're in that
right
fucking
here.
Lampshade over there. They're all in that lampshade.
It's right there.
That's insane.
Here's Bebop. Here's one of the Ninja Turtles, and it's the Ninja Turtles where they had the sunglasses.
No, that was the Sports Edition series that
yes.
they made. Like Leonardo was a quarterback.
Yeah.
And Donna, I'll take a picture of this listener and we'll post it. But like, I made these two lamps in here, and they're out of my old toys, and one of them is all the actual characters from this movie. That's going to be fucking awesome.
It's pretty cool.
Maya Rudolph is in it, is doing a voice.
She's Cynthia Utrom. Seth Rogen, Bebop, we already did that. Brandy Noon, Raphael, who's Leonardo is
Carlo
Nicholas
Esposito
Canto.
Is doing one of the voices. Baxter Stockman,
Shimon Brown Jr. is Michelangelo. So a lot of kids are actually doing the voices for this.
It's actual kids. Yeah.
Which if this, pops,
I love that fucking Seth Rogen and fucking John Cena. Fuck, John.
Well, this is Seth Rogen's baby, eh?
Is he the producer?
Yeah.
Oh well, it's gonna be fucking dope.
And you know it's gonna be dope.
He's on fire right
we
now.
We have a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that's made by Stoner. Like, it's gonna have some really good
dude,
humor in
it. He's so fucking great.
Okay, so we've
I wish Franco wasn't fucking so creepy and they could do like a fucking follow-up to Pineapple Express.
What would you call it?
I don't know. Or just another buddy. Like the interview's so good, too. Like, I just, those two together are so good. It'll never happen again. Like, that magic is, that time is past, but I don't know. They just did really good comedies together.
They did. They wrote well together. They fed
well. Pineapple Express was so good, and they didn't, and at first they were like, they didn't want to give James Franco a chance, and then they did it, and they were like, holy fuck, this guy's funny.
Yeah, he popped. He really did. Man, they couldn't, he was untouchable for like 10 years.
Dude, he was fucking huge, man.
And then he had to go be a creep in his acting class.
I don't know. It was acting unit school or whatever it was.
Taken very liberally.
Yeah.
I really wish I had made a lamp out of those toys now.
Ah, whatever. Dude.
Now that I know this is coming back into the ether.
It's fucking dope, dude.
Yeah. If you, which turtle did you sympathize with the most? Because we were talking about Sex and the City with personality.
Leonardo.
You were the leader.
Yeah.
You wanted those big fucking katana blades.
Fuck yeah. Well, you know what? You know what's kind of cool too, right? Is the weapons they gave each of them was a reflection of their personalities too.
So the nunchucks are fun.
No, the no. So your most serious person, who's the most disciplined, has the most deadly weapon, which are the katanas.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
You're the person who is the calmest and is the most thoughtful, has the most powerful weapon. The bow staff.
Okay.
Okay. The most angry person, right? Or the one that will rate has the size because they have the least damage.
Yeah.
They're more about precision. No.
So the psychopath can't go on a stabbing spree.
And the one who isn't serious and is fun loving and goofy has the hardest weapon to master.
That's nunchucks. A very deep take on the Ninja Turtles. That is so philosophical.
I saw it on a video somewhere, and it's just fucking stuck with me.
No, that makes perfect sense.
But it fucking makes sense.
It makes I highly doubt the writers went that deep, but when you
I bet
look,
you they fucking
you think
did.
So? You
I
think
totally
so?
Think those guys
well,
did.
Well, I mean, okay, so you're making a show about ninjas, so you need to look
no,
at
No, this is from the cartoon.
That's
why they gave these guys
sure.
this. 100%.
But when they're sitting in that room and they're like, okay, what kind of disciplines do we give these guys? Okay, ninja discipline, that means very
now,
focused.
Who knows? Maybe that's just maybe it's just fucking coincidence, but who knows? Maybe there's some subconscious thing that was directing it, and who knows? Maybe that was the actual intention of the creators.
Who knows? I mean, hey, if you're listening to this, creators, and you want to talk to us and tell us all about when you wrote the fucking cartoon,
yeah.
We'll talk to you.
Yeah.
It was a fun one back then. It's still a fun one now. I mean, it's had, there's like, I was looking on Turtle Mania and.
Is that a website?
The fandom for
okay.
it, Turtlepedia,
yeah.
Turtle Mania. And there's been like six animated movies and attempts at redoing the show too. Like it never dies.
I think it's one of those things that like comes back into the zeitgeist
yeah.
for a couple of years and it gets hot again for a bit and then it kind of fizzles out and then it kind of goes underground for a little bit and then it kind of comes back again.
You know why? Because like you've got Paw Patrol with puppies talking, mm-hmm. right? Now you've got turtles talking. Like it plays into the
Paw Patrol is geared towards a lower.
It is. It is. But
that's a different demo.
All I'm saying is a different demo, but same wheelhouse. You've got animals talking and interacting with each other. Just
in a team.
In a team, right. Yeah. You know, things that kids can play off of. 10, 12, 11-year-olds instead, maybe.
It's basically, I mean, you're basically creating a cartoon to sell a toy. That's essentially
what it
is.
That's the secret
time. But the key is, though, is you might have a great toy idea,
yeah.
but if the show sucks, the toys aren't going to sell. So you actually have to develop a great TV show as well. So you need to have that IP has to be so fucking solid to sell the toy.
Did you have the toys growing up?
Yeah.
I mean, Sean did, but did I play with them or did your Transformers kick their ass all the time?
No, we played with them. Yeah. It was just a mixed bag. I probably got a bunch of turtles too.
They were like, they had.
But I just remember my brother got a bunch of birthday money one year and we went to the U.S., And the toys were so much cheaper down there.
Sure.
And I remember he bought
the
like
good old days.
He bought like fucking like
the Technodrome.
14 or 15 fucking characters. No, I never had the Technodrome.
No. Did you
no.
have the bus? The pizza
I
bus?
I didn't, but my buddy had it.
Yeah.
So we would like play with it and stuff like that.
I got the people that go in it, you got the yeah. thing that moves us. Let's go
yeah.
fucking play toys.
Yeah. I had more like big G.I. Joe toys and Star Wars toys. Those were ones where I had bigger things.
I think in
like
the
I had a Millennium Falcon and I had like the G.I. Joe base and
sure I, the
and
one,
I had like
the,
a big
did you have the three tier one?
No, I had the one that was like three things that clipped all together kind of thing. And then I had like a fucking like kind of like a Chinook kind of helicopter, and I had like a tank and that kind of stuff. From what I remember.
I'm thinking in this climate of cinema right now and being the summer that this is going to probably maybe bring some people back. Like I think this is going to be a family movie that's going to do, this is going to do well.
It's a family movie that's going to do well because you're going to have millennials that grew up on this.
Yes.
Bring their kids.
And us who had it for the first time.
Yeah.
And just go because we're big fucking nerds. 100%. Like it does touch a lot.
I wasn't even thinking about this, and then you told me what the theme of this podcast was, and then I watched the trailer and I was like, oh, this actually looks pretty fucking dope.
Right.
I watched a documentary last night about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle toys. It kind of like brought all this stuff back.
Tribe Called Quest in the trailer too,
you know,
right?
And I'm kind of like excited about it again. And that's all it takes sometimes.
Yeah. No, you just need to get it back into your life and you're good to go. With that being said, now that we know we're going to go see it, we're also going to go see something right now, aren't we?
We are going to see Indiana Jones.
We are. We haven't been to a movie since Tenet.
Together?
Together.
Really?
We haven't seen a movie since Tenet.
I feel like we've seen something before that. No?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
But we're going to go see Indiana Jones listening. What do you think? Do you think we're going to come
out
of
this happy? I've heard shitty things about it, but it's Indiana Jones. I will go see it.
I'm willing to put up with a lot of... I got a lot of wiggle room for this movie.
So I watched Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade last night.
Oh,
so
getting in the mood.
Because
I watched Raiders earlier in the week.
Yeah, because I've heard that the fourth one, this new fifth one doesn't come, the Dial of Destiny doesn't come off of the Crystal Skull.
No, it doesn't.
They're kind of like leaving that one away or something.
We didn't do that. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Anyway, whatever. It's stupid.
I fucking love Crystal Skull. I'll sit by it all day long.
It's so fucking...
I don't bump into anything.
The scene where they keep going down the fucking waterfalls.
Okay, I do bump into that and the monkeys. Fine. You can have the monkeys. Okay. I understand the monkeys.
Okay, what about when he goes in the fucking fridge and gets launched?
I'm fine with nuking the fridge.
So dead.
I'm fine with it. You know why?
So dead.
I know, but it's a movie. So come on. Let's just go into this and be
it's
like...
It's fun.
Indy outran a boulder, so it's today's boulder, right?
It's a little bit different than the fucking boulder.
Okay.
The boulder is realistic in comparison.
Let's stop for a second here. You think that surviving the nuclear blast in the fridge is...
more far-fetched than him running away and getting out of the way of a giant boulder.
I'm going to say two words. Mm-hmm. Penitent man. You think the penitent man scene is more believable...
Yes.
The little man in the sky, whose name is Jesus Christ, who left a cup behind for him to find, is more plausible than getting in a lead-lined fridge. And I'm not going to say he didn't have radiation poisoning, but I will.
It's not about the radiation poisoning. It's about being inside this fridge that's being projected hundreds of kilometers an hour, like over a massive, and then landing, and basically he's going to rattle around inside.
No, there was no room for him to rattle.
Bullshit, there wasn't.
There was no room. Did you see how hard he was trying to close the door? No, I'm fine with it. I can watch the nuke the fridge scene's one of my favorite scenes in all of Indiana.
Well, it's
Jones.
Also because the fucking siren goes off, and he's looking around. And he's like, "What the fuck? And then he realizes where the fuck he is. He's like, "What the fuck?" And he's looking for like, "How the fuck do I get?" And he's like, "There's nowhere to fucking go. There's nowhere to go."
Then he realizes that they're mannequins, and that's when
and
it
then
all
the fucking and those
in.
Russian guys are trying to drive their car, and
wait,
you see the shockwave just eat them. Like you're just like, "Oh, dude, yeah."
No.
Honestly, I have low expectations going in.
So do I.
And I always find that when I have low expectations,
you have way more fun.
I have way more fun.
I love Phoebe Waller-Bridge's too.
It's like I expect all of these newest franchise movies to suck, and then I see them and I'm like, oh, that was pretty good.
It's okay. I can live with that.
Yeah.
Did you watch Fleabag at all? Did you and wifey ever watch that?
No.
Okay. So. Watch Fleabag if you have a chance. Okay. It's like if David Duchovny was a woman in Californication.
Okay.
But takes place in Europe. Like she's fantastic.
Okay.
It was originally, I think, a one woman play that turned into a series and she wrote it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm interested to see the whole goddaughter aspect of being Marcus's child and seeing what's his face? Indy Camels. What the fuck's his name? Jonathan Rhys Davies.
Oh yeah, yeah. Apparently there's a behind the scenes picture of where Harrison Ford kept shooting a scene and the hat kept coming off and he told them to give him a fucking staple gun and apparently he staple gunned the hat to his own head to film the scene.
Yeah, that's how badass he is. And it's Sala, the name I'm trying to think of, by the way. Don't worry about it. It breaks every time. I'm wanting a nuke the fridge scene in this tonight. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I really want some over-the-top dumb shit to happen.
There'll be one. Don't worry.
I watched a really great pitch from some guy who was trying to explain.
I mean, each one of the movies has a weird scene like
that. It does. But there was this guy on social media that said, he's like, I got a pitch for Indiana Jones. And his pitch was, Indy's in like an old folks home.
Yeah.
And this kid comes in and he's talking to him. And he's like, Are you Indiana Jones?
Dr. Jones.
Yes, I am. And he's like, oh man, like I've heard so many stories about you. And he was like, are they all true? And Dr. Jones is like, yeah. And he starts to tell these stories, but it's a story we've never seen. So that's how we get a new Indiana Jones. We get Harrison Ford at 90 being an aging Indiana Jones.
But they've already done that too. Remember the young Indiana Jones
Indiana
Chronicle?
Jones, yes, I remember.
Where he'd be the old man in the museum? Yeah.
That's what they're doing with this, was his idea. But here's his kicker. So throughout the movie, he's telling a story to this kid, right? And they're flashing back and forth. Very Princess Bride, okay? But then at the end of it, he's like, oh, my son's here to take
me. Is this the new movie?
No, this isn't the new movie. This is just a pitch this guy had.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, someone should fucking make this. But he says, oh, my son's here now to take me out for dinner. And around the corner comes Short Round. He adopted Short Round. Right? Does that not? And then, like, him and Short Round go out for dinner, and then comes in, and
you know,
and
I didn't watch the Oscars this year, but I did see the video of when Harrison Ford gives him the fucking Oscar and they hug and stuff. Like, holy fuck!
Oh god,
I know,
shocked, full of emotions.
Like,
did you see him on Conan? That clip that Jimmy sent us?
No.
Oh my god, you got to listen to him on Conan right now, man. It's fucking fantastic.
Who, Harrison Ford?
Harrison Ford. So he's grilling Conan, and he's like, Conan says something. And
like on Conan's podcast?
Conan's podcast, yeah. Everybody needs, Conan wants best friend or some shit. But he's talking to him, and Harrison Ford makes a comment about how bad he is at interviewing people. He's like, now I know why you haven't been on television for years. He says, look right here. It says Harrison Ford was in Star Wars. You need to fucking write that down. Like, this is the quality of your interviews. And then Conan's like, I saw these Star Wars movies, and there was this Darth Vader guy, and there was this Luke guy, and then there was you, and you just didn't pop. Gotta watch it, man. Fuck, that interview is priceless.
Oh,
and like,
fuck.
Harrison Ford does not get enough credit for his comedy chops.
Dude, he's funny, man.
He's so funny.
He's so funny.
Like, I've been told to watch Shrinking so many times this week.
I was just going to bring that up.
Because of how good he is.
He's good in it. And Jason Segel's fucking gold, man.
Always.
Yeah, it's a good show.
All right, well,
and it's easy to watch. It's 40 minute episodes.
And it's Brett Goldstein from Ted Lasso.
Oh, is that
Roy?
Who?
Roy
oh,
writes nice. On that show. Nice. Brett Goldstein writes on both shows.
Yeah,
but not as Roy Kent.
Cool. Are we gonna do the third part?
No, we don't have time. Well, we'll save it for next time.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, no, we don't have time.
We got time.
I'm hungry.
All right.
I want to go get food.
So, all right.
Yeah, we'll save. We'll keep the listener coming back for something
okay.
more. Right? You don't want to spread your legs too wide.
Whoa, that was very explicit.
Yeah, I don't know what that metaphor means. Anyways, listener, we're going to go see Indiana Jones now, and we're going to save that topic that we didn't touch for next time, which will be, what actor do we want to come back, get off the couch, get back into the game, like a Rick Moranis or
Robert we would want to, you know, we
change their last role,
we
maybe.
We took their DNA and somehow was able to, you know, reanimate their body but still have their soul, and they could become an actor again.
Holy shit, this is a David Cronenberg film.
Yeah, man.
Anyways, listener, thank you so much for tuning into another episode. We hope you go watch TMNT Mutant Mayhem, because we are, and let us know what you think about it. We have a voicemail line, so any of the things we've talked about on the show this week, you can be like, Rob, I think you're wrong. Mike, I think you're right. You can pin us against each other if you want. We'll play those voicemails on upcoming shows referencing these episodes. So if you're from Manitoba, Winnipeg, anywhere in the world, and you've liked what you've heard, leave us a voicemail, subscribe to the show, follow us on social media. All the links are in the show notes. It's pretty easy to do. If you're like subscribed to at least like Instagram, Facebook, and then the podcast, you never miss something locally. So if we're out and about doing movies in the park, like I said, or some other event, we're trying to plan a movie night. We're trying to do another live debate. Comic-Con's around the corner for Rob to maybe do a repeat win. I know you didn't win last year, but you won the first year, right? Iron Man Best Summer Camp.
I did.
You did. You had the room that night, that afternoon. So that's why you should subscribe to the fucking podcast, and that's the easiest way to support us. It's the freest.
Are we doing another trivia night soon?
Yeah, we will.
Okay.
We can do that. We can write on that. See, another thing, if you miss out, we're going to do a trivia night somewhere, and you got to follow us. So Instagram and Twitter is Real Debaters Pod, REEL for the spelling. Real Debaters Podcast on Facebook.
We should live stream the next trivia night.
We can. We should.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a way to do that. Like those piano bar nights. Listeners, stop listening at this point. Thanks, guys, for tuning in to another episode. Oh, yeah. YouTube. If you want to follow us on YouTube, RD Pod Shorts. That's RD Pod Shorts on YouTube. I've been Michael Petro.
I'm Rob Strachan.
And you should watch all the movies and masturbate, kids. Say bye. Say bye, man. Say bye.
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 Spanish ladies.